Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Steph Wentworth, and you're listening to the Autosport Podcast. Day two of testing for the 2024 Formula One season has come to an end, and today was a very different day in comparison to yesterday. The morning session was disrupted due to a drain cover incident, but the afternoon session added on time in order to make up for that, so hopefully only minimal time and data was lost for the teams. Now, as we've mentioned before, testing times are to be taken with a pinch of salt. But in the end, it was Carlos Sainz who pitched up the fastest time of the day with a 121.9 on the C4 soft compound tyre. Now, the majority of other runners were posting their times on the C3 compound, with Sergio Perez coming in second and Lewis Hamilton following up in third. Lando Norris was in fourth with a time of 131.2 and Daniel Ricciardo behind him in the brand new branded RB. Charles Leclerc behind him with a 131.7, followed by Lance Stroll and Esteban Ocon. Valtteri Bottas and Oscar Piastri closed out the top 10, both on a 132. Logan Sargeant pitched up in 11th with a 132.5, followed by Fernando Alonso, Zhou Guanyu, Pierre Gasly, Kevin Magnussen, Nico Hülkenberg and Yuki Tsunoda rounded out the times for today. I am Steph Wentworth, and joining me all the way from Bahrain, we have Alex Kalanakis and also Hayden Cobb from the UK. Alex, let's start with you. You've been trackside at Bahrain all day today. Lucky you. Tell us any issues you've spotted throughout any of the teams. Have any of them had any particular struggles today?
Yeah, very lucky. Thanks, Steph. It's genuinely one of the biggest pleasures of my job. Very much getting trackside whenever I can at F1 events. And given it's testing, that means we can spend an extended period of time out in the sun. It's thankfully for me and my ridiculous complexion, not too hot here in Bahrain, so not been boiling out there trackside. If anything, actually going out there now, it's you'd need a jacket, which I neglected to bring. But whatever, we shall make do. It was as fascinating as ever. I think I covered, I'd say, a good 75% of the track today. Didn't really get down to the first turns where you would have seen, if you're watching the live TV coverage or even the sort of clips that F1 are putting out, Esteban Ocon having a massive lockup in the Alpine, pretty noticeable. Didn't really get off the brakes very quickly, and that flat spot was certainly catching, so that'll be something that Alpine will want to look into. But yeah, sort of braking was one of the things I really wanted to talk about, because when I was out there in, we call it the morning session for simplistic reasons, because here in Bahrain, it goes into the afternoon here as well, but obviously back in Europe, particularly if you're back in Europe where you're watching, it's going to be the morning session for you. But yeah, just really interesting watching down at the turn 8 hairpin, because it's quite a steep descent down to that point. It's quite gusty, the wind's acting on the cars a fair bit. Essentially what we're looking for is just how stable the cars are under braking, whether the nose is diving down. There's been a lot of chat about that, you know, the anti-dive effect and things like that, and where you can potentially find lap time, but more critically, just confidence for the drivers. And what I thought was particularly interesting was that Aston Martin and Mercedes, and that time it was Fernando Alonso at the wheel for the Aston Martin and Lewis Hamilton at the wheel for the Mercedes, both of those cars were really bouncing a lot more than any of the others. I must admit, I didn't see the Red Bull at that point. It was sat in the garage, but the rest of the cars were pretty much stable throughout. And that, like I said, when we come back and think about the lap time, that's something that historically Lewis Hamilton, when it comes to braking, that's where he, if you've got the confidence in the car under braking, he can really find a lot of time. So that'll be something interesting that Mercedes in particular will want to look into. And if we stay with Mercedes for the afternoon session, obviously the morning one cut short by the drain issue, as you mentioned, Steph, went round to look at turn 13, which is that sort of not quite double apex, but double turn at the wheel. Corner that feeds onto the short straight, goes down the hill and leads onto the main straight here in Bahrain. And the Mercedes was more often than not sideways. It was really, Hamilton was really coming in, just really trying to take a wider line to give the tyres a bit of a breather, but equally he was catching the car every now and then, snapping away. The wind was very strong at that point. It caught out a number of drivers, Carlos Sainz in the Ferrari, Lando Norris in the McLaren, and Lance Stroll once taken over in the Aston Martin. But the key takeaway was that the Mercedes, more often than not, was sideways. The Red Bull, and very interestingly, the RB, never seemed to have a problem there. Time after time, totally consistent with just the handling what is quite a tricky turn. That was really interesting because I then came back to the media centre during the afternoon. Obviously, the night had fallen by that point, and the Mercedes did seem to have more of a handle on that. So potentially it's the hot conditions, which is something that historically Mercedes have had to grapple with.
Well, we've covered all the negatives there, but let's not dwell too much on those. Let's think about the positives. As you mentioned, Red Bull and RB looking quite strong. Were there any other teams that you spotted that have kind of got a good handle on it, have got good balance of the car? Ferrari and Carlos Sainz were obviously putting in those very quick lap times on the C4 compound.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, they're the sort of headline takeaway with the times today. What I did think was interesting, particularly at that point at turn 13, where the wind was really strong, you can see which cars particularly suffer with things like wind sensitivity. And obviously, that's quite a key consideration with the ground effects on these cars. And the slides that I talked about earlier, what was interesting was the Sainz had just started a run. Norris was sort of was fairly deep into one. And so Sainz has got that lovely advantage of nice extra grip. Couldn't help him when it came to having to catch a massive snap of oversteer. He was really on the edge there. Honestly, he was sort of like, whoa, hang on a minute, what's happening there with the Ferrari? So, yeah, perhaps a wind sensitivity thing. It's sort of it's something that Ferrari struggled with here in Bahrain a year ago, various other points of the track here. But yeah, other than that, didn't seem to be having the sort of sliding issue that the Mercedes was having at that point. Fairly consistent for the Ferrari, but just not sort of Red Bull and, like I said, RB consistent. For what it's worth, the Haas was pretty regularly sideways, particularly when it came to putting the power down on the exit of that corner. But the Williams and the Alpine, again, looked fairly stable. But I would say that they genuinely looked slower coming through the turn. They were getting on the power a lot later, which suggests, you know, they're just not carrying as much speed as, say, the frontrunners.
Well, focusing on the reigning world champions, the reigning constructors champions in Red Bull, Max Verstappen obviously started off testing yesterday for the full day, and Sergio Perez took over today, but it wasn't as clean or as straightforward a day for him, despite him finishing quite high up in the lap times. Hayden, could you explain kind of what was going on with Perez, what happened to him, Red Bull, and any technical issues and kinks that they might be experiencing?
Yeah, definitely. So bright and early this morning, obviously Perez is put in the car and you think he'll just aim to repeat what Verstappen achieved yesterday. But a couple of laps into his sort of first run, obviously all the material on the cars would be fresh for the day. And it sort of sparked a little brake fire on the front of the car. And that isn't sort of too untypical, particularly when the materials are brand new and these things can happen. But it did cost Red Bull a fair bit of time in obviously putting out said fire and then fixing the issue so it wouldn't repeat itself. And he lost about half an hour into that morning session, then got into his programme. But of course, as we mentioned at the start with the drain cover and losing that time in the morning, he was only limited to 20 laps, I believe, for the entire morning session. So a little bit on the back foot, still, like, compared to everyone else, was largely in the same boat. But yeah, wasn't as smooth sailing through, largely no fault of his own, well, no fault at all, to be honest. But yes, as everyone got plenty of runtime and he was in the car all day, much smoother in the afternoon. You would say he didn't look as comfortable as Verstappen in the car, at least from my vantage point through TV feeds. But yeah, a case of getting the programme done. He certainly ticked through it and Red Bull were able to catch up a little bit. There was one scary moment for them, sort of towards the end of the afternoon session, of it appeared as if Perez like lost drive or lost power entirely, coming through sort of the penultimate into the last corner. And he managed to get the car back to the pits sort of at a crawl. They clearly did a systems reset and managed to check everything over in the safety of the garage. Didn't lose a great deal of time, managed to get going again and complete the day without a further issue. So up and down for Perez, largely through no fault of his own. But I think this is what testing's all about, as they'll say. It's like, well, you'd rather it happen today than next week when the Grand Prix is happening.
Exactly. Better now than during qualifying, am I right? Well, let's move on to Ferrari, because they are one of the few teams who have maintained that rear-end suspension layout that they had from 2023. They're hoping to tame that kind of snappy rear end and make the car more drivable. It seemed very planted today, shall we say. How are they looking out there, Alex? And what have both drivers and the team said about the car so far?
Yeah, other than the sort of potential wind sensitivity issue that we talked about earlier, Steph, looks pretty consistent from the track side. We'll say on the obviously no performance gaining livery side, when night falls here, the lights come on, looks really insipid, uninspiring, because it's got a matte finish, doesn't glint like, say, the Aston Martin does. But anyway, woafully sidetracked as ever. I'm afraid I don't have anything to tell you from Carlos Sainz's position, but Charles Leclerc talked quite extensively earlier about what the car is like to drive. He said it's basically consistent with what the team is feeling in the simulator, and that's that it is easier to drive than the SF23, which was quite unpredictable for Ferrari on the edge. Again, we talk a lot about robbing the drivers of confidence and therefore leading to issues. But I think what really Ferrari are very happy about is that what the drivers were feeling in the simulator is translating to what they're feeling on the racetrack. That said, Leclerc is pretty adamant they're a healthy step behind Red Bull, which is not what anybody wanted when it comes to hoping for a closer fight in 2024.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see where Ferrari is able to go from here. But unfortunately, they actually had to fit a new floor due to the drain cover incident that happened in the morning. Hayden, this isn't the first time that we've seen Ferrari impacted by these drain covers in recent times. Are these becoming more of an issue in F1 as a whole? Is this something that the FIA and F1 are going to need to address in the future?
It's a very good question, actually, and it's probably not one that Mehdi would have thought coming into testing, especially, would come up. But I think it probably is going to be at the forefront of their mind, particularly when they go to tracks that have a lot of drain covers and sort of exposed areas. You obviously would think of the street tracks immediately, but as Bahrain has shown in a very sort of traditional circuit setting, these cars are able to rip off drain covers wherever they go. And massive deja vu, as you mentioned there, and to the point where I was on the Autosport podcast after Friday practice in Las Vegas talking through that. So, yeah, I feel like I'm going through that again. But it was incredible, sort of the similarities of it. Was it damaged a Ferrari car? It was a drain cover, cut the running short. Granted, there weren't many fans in Vegas for other reasons that day compared to Bahrain, where obviously there's not too many fans for the testing. But then thankfully, the repair job was fairly swift. As we said, obviously they lost a little bit of time, but gained it back in the day. And overall, the disruption was relatively minimised. But yes, it's certainly going to be something that, because of the way these cars generate downforce and with the ground effect, it's going to become an issue more and more throughout the season, and particularly when these loads get bigger and bigger. So, yeah, I would say so. They're going to be clearly going to the likes of Monaco, Baku, and Miami to the start of the year. Those would be the ones to watch out to try and avoid the repeats of Las Vegas and today.
If I can just add to the sense of deja vu there, Hayden, not only was I trackside during Las Vegas, I was also trackside this morning. So it's everybody's in familiar places for these things going wrong. But I thought what's quite interesting, you're quite right to note, obviously, how powerful the ground effects are in terms of how that's going to impact things like drain covers. I went back, I was noticing yesterday when watching on the outside of Turn 11, the drivers drift really quite heavily onto the curbs at that point. Went back and checked the video footage. That is the sort of natural bracing line, is the term I'm going to use, but when they're going flat out in qualifying, they've got nearly two-thirds of the car over onto the curbs at that point. So it's obviously just weaken the drain cover, because that's what they're doing. They're trying to open up the corner to keep the tyres alive, not strain the tyres as much as possible while keeping that speed high. So yeah, I think it's unfortunate that obviously just enough times cars went over it to cause that failure today.
Well, hopefully we don't see too more of that going into the rest of the season. Moving on to Mercedes, yesterday George Russell was in the car for the whole day. He said that the W15, they're now more able to attack the corners, and Hamilton backs that up by posting the third fastest time today. Merck have had a difficult few years, but how is this W15 looking on track?
Yeah, as I said, Steph, it's from my vantage point of that particular corner really far around the Bahrain track, it was honestly the worst looking one. That said, I mentioned the conditions that it was running in, the slightly hotter conditions. When it came in and viewing on board in the night footage as things closed out the day, it did look a lot calmer. And let's not forget, that the cars are not going to be running in their race spec trim. They're not going to all be, using the same wing levels and things like that that might be ideal for running around Bahrain. Basically the mood coming out of the camp is not, we've suddenly fixed it, everything's brilliant, but things are a step better. George Russell, talking that the rear end isn't spiteful, which was the key term that the team's talking about in the pre-season, and it's not giving them any of that sort of diva, unpredictable characteristics that it was perhaps happening in the past. So yeah, again, it's a bit like Ferrari. It's good, that's nice, because they're not feeling like immediate winners. I think there's just a sense of, perhaps right now, still quite a lot of work to do to catch Red Bull.
And finally, we saw a performance run from Carlos Sainz on the C4 compound tyre. Though the majority of the teams were using the C3 compound and using that for the long runs rather than qualifying runs, apart from Sainz, Ricciardo and Sargeant. Everybody else's top times were done on those C3s. Hayden, do we have any way to kind of explain what's going on here? What exactly are the teams looking for?
Yeah, I guess if you go immediately short term, the C3 is designated as the soft tyre for next weekend's Bahrain Grand Prix weekend. So the C4-5 won't be available next weekend. So yeah, the C3 is the one to focus on, particularly over the next week or so. And it's fair to say that teams are likely to use the C3, given it's in the middle of the compound, far more regularly over the course of the season, depending where it is in that sliding scale, depending on the abrasiveness and what tyres probably brings to each race. And it is clear that teams have heavily loaded in their picks for the test of the allocation for tyres, to the point where McLaren and Alpine have got no C4 or C5 tyres in their allocation for the whole of testing. So you won't see either of their cars on anything softer than a C3. But others have brought a few, and the reason mostly being was we're still going to use those tyres at some point this season, so it's always good to get a feel for them, see how the car behaves on that softer compound, with a thought in mind of going to circuits of where that compound and that rubber is going to be useful. So there's a bit of splits thinking between the teams, and I think that's obviously given how limited they are on track time when you divide it per driver. Those out and out performance sort of glory times that we've sort of seen in the past and probably could still see during this week, they are going to be a lot few and far in between, because just teams will not have the time to get through all the compounds, and they've got to prioritise what is going to be most important to them, and it's long runs and it's race runs on tyres that they're going to need over the next few weeks.
That about does it for our testing day 2 roundup. Thanks for joining me both. We'll be back again tomorrow to round up the final day of pre-season testing and make our way onto the first race of the season. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Sports Social Podcast Network.